So glad that we're with you. Excited that Pastor is on the road to recovery. And so you're going to have a few different preachers over the next week or two while he's recovering. And excited to see you guys today. We missed last week. It feels like an eternity when we're not together. So I love that about this body, that we want to be together. That's so cool. The Bible, it talks about the word time, uses different words for it. But in the ancient Greek, there's two words for time. Do you guys know what those are? Are you up on your ancient Greek? One is chronos. Say chronos. Chronos. And the other one is kairos. So chronos, have you ever had like the little drop-down list or whatever, and you've had to list things in order of relevance or whatever, whatever? And sometimes on there is a word called chronological. Chronological. It means time in the sense of tick, 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 1 second. 60 seconds is 1 minute. 60 minutes is 1 hour. 24 hours is 1 day. You get, like, it's linear, it's measurable, it's static, it's just one thing. So that's what chronos means. And sometimes we'll use the word chronos in meaning like linear time. But the other word is super cool. The other word is kairos. And it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean like a section of time, like, well, from Monday to next Thursday, you know, that's the time that we're, you know, and we use those ideas a lot. But when the Bible uses the word kairos, it might say time or it might say season or day or hour or whatever. But kairos means, it really means season. And not in the sense of like harvest or like fall, spring, or winter. It means the kind of like the season that we're in. It means like the expression of what's happening right now. Kind of the flavor of the moment, the temperature of the atmosphere. That just means what God is doing at this time, in this season. And so there's, God moves through seasons. I don't know if you knew that or not, and you can find that like a little more hidden, but you can pull that out of Scripture pretty easily if you're kind of just looking through. See that there's seasons that God moved like this, there's seasons that God spoke like that, there's seasons that the church would be like this. And so I wanted to talk to you this morning about a season that I feel that we're in right now. I feel that we're in a season in COC, in the church, in the greater region, and church at large. I feel like we're in a season right now of spiritual growth. I feel like just from our conversations that we have with people in the church here, and we get the blessing of working here and having a lot more conversations with a lot more people just because of the access that we have to your guys' lives. But there's just been a hunger lately. I mean, probably for a few months at least. Just people want to grow. People want to not be the same. People want to be transformed. People want to move forward. And so we're just so excited that, like, sometimes that just happens. You know, in your own life, you have your own personal, you know, paths that you walk through in cycles and seasons in your own life. But we just believe that right now, corporately, that we're in a season of growth. We're in a season where it's accessible to just get that hunger and to want your heart to be stirred into that. And so, have you guys personally, have you ever seen, how about this? I hear this all the time. You know, I was driving down the road and I was just thinking about, I don't know, fill in the blank. Like, I was just thinking about God's mercy. What? Just pick something or something personal to you. Just thinking about God's mercy. And then the song came on the radio and it was about God's mercy. And then I got to where I was at. I had two texts waiting for me. So I opened up my phone and it was verses about God's mercy. Somebody was saying, you guys ever have those experiences where it's just like, and then the next morning the preacher came on the TV and he was talking about God's mercy or whatever it is that you're experiencing. I've had a number of you tell me those kind of stories. And so I know that God speaks to us personally like that. And you can see that God is highlighting those things in your life. Like that's where God wants to lead you. He wants you to be aware of that. So we have a couple of options. We can tell a cool story about how the coincidence of I heard it on the radio, then I got a text, and then the next morning the preacher came on the radio or whatever, and they were all about God's mercy. Huh, that's kind of neat. And then go on with our lives, can't we? So our one option is just to say, well, that's cool. Or the second option, and I believe this is the option that we should take, The second option is, let me ponder this for a second. Let me talk with someone about what they think this might mean. Let me go find Bible verses about mercy. Let me find another message from someone else that I love to listen to about mercy. Let me just pray into that and meditate on that. What does that really mean? Let me pray about it. Let's just stir it over in my heart. And the terms that we use is, let's just lean into that. So if God's breathing on that, we have the choice to just go, that's neat. And guess what happens? We have a good story. And that's really all that happens. Or if we do the second option, we just push into that. And we're like, I don't know what this really means. And you just kind of start pressing into it. Start asking people. Start reading your Bible and finding, get a concordance. Just take a step forward in that and kind of pursue that. Well, I feel like God just is always, I just keep hearing all these things about mercy. God must want, or whatever it is. We're just using that as an example. That maybe I need to find out more about this. God, what do you have for me? Is it mercy for me? Are you saying that I'm really lacking in mercy for other people? And that's your way of just saying, hey, get it together. Because I don't know. We don't know. God's talking to you. So the same thing happens corporately. When you start just seeing things corporately like that, wow, so-and-so were just talking about how they're pressing through something. Oh, so-and-so just learned this and they're so excited in their life. And so you just start seeing all these little things corporately in the body of Christ. And we just look at each other, we go, I think we're in a season of growth right now. I think there's a supernatural thing happening because we haven't done a lot different. You know, we've done some stuff, but you know that disproportionately, like more is happening than what you're doing. There's a greater response. And so there's a hunger in people's hearts right now for growth. So I had a couple different things that I was maybe thinking about sharing this morning. And I was on the bus and I was praying and I had just got done praying. I was kind of feeling a little anxiety about it. I'm like, no, I don't need to be anxious about this. I'm like, God, you know exactly what we need to be talking about this morning. And so I just kind of relaxed, and I actually just kind of smiled. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, you can tell me any way that you want to tell me. I trust you. You've done it hundreds of times in 100 different ways before. End of story. Good enough. So I got off the bus. I had to make one stop to go see somebody and pick up some papers. And so I'm sitting in her office talking with her. And I had my message is called Season of Growth. Okay? And more than just spiritual growth, but like the season that we're in. Like, what does that really mean? And what do we do about it? And so I was sitting there talking with her, and she said, yeah, I've just kind of been discouraged and just feeling like stagnant. But just, I'm so excited. I've just been hearing stories about people growing. She says, there's a lot of people growing right now. She said, I think we're in a season of growth. So I started laughing. I said, that's funny. She said, that's funny? I said, it's funny because about 23 minutes ago, I was having a funny conversation with God. Like, you can do this. You can handle that. She's like, well, I'm glad I could be your confirmation. And she doesn't go to church here. Just, just a friend of mine. So I thought, how cool of God to just say, hey, we'll get you through this. So open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So what does this mean? What are we talking about when we're talking about growth? What do we do if that's really true? We're going to go to like some other verses first, Jason. Chapter 3, we're going to start around verse number 12. And this is one of Pastor's favorite sections of Scripture. So you guys have heard this all lots of times. And a lot of these things that we're talking about today are not new things. But because God's really breathing on this right now, we want to press into this. We want to just at least make us aware that there's an access right now. There's an anointing. There's a presence of God available to grow, to go forward. We don't want to remain stuck. We don't want to be where we're at. A year from now, we don't want to just have 52 more paychecks and a set of common experiences that might be okay and still be the same person. Like, we want to be transformed. That's our heart in this church, is to see transformation, right? That was a very subdued, thoughtful response. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 12, since we have such a hope. There we are. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. So this is talking about Old Covenant, New Covenant stuff, but there's some cool stuff in here. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil is over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay? So what is growth? What are we going after? Because if we said, what is spiritual growth? I bet we would come up with maybe 15 or 12 or 10 or 20 different answers of what does spiritual growth really look like? And I think sometimes we get a skewed picture of what does it really mean to grow? Like, we know what physical growth is. And we kind of know what mental growth is. Like, we go to school to learn, right? We call it learning. We don't usually call it mental growth. Emotional growth, hopefully we have a vague idea of what that is. But what is spiritual growth? What does that look like? What are we going for? When I say that to you, if you just have a blank expression in your mind about, I don't really even know what that looks like. Or you have a picture of it, and maybe it's, you know, Billy Graham just passed away, you know, not that long ago. Maybe you're like, when I talk about spiritual growth, you think like, I'm going to go from where I'm at right now, and tomorrow I need to be a Billy Graham, right? Like I seriously think a lot of times when we talk about pursuing God and spiritual growth, I think a lot of times we get discouraged. Like, we're excited about it, but then we get discouraged because we've tried that before, or I'm disappointed in how far I've come. I thought I'd be further by now, or I've had some setbacks, or the picture that you're painting for us is not attainable. Maybe for you that's fine, or maybe for someone else, but not for me. I can't be that guy out saving everybody and healing everybody. And do you know what I mean? Does that seem like that could be possible for some people? And so I think sometimes we get this idea of what we think that is, and I have to be like that if I'm having spiritual growth in my life. That's not the case. Those are awesome things. But we see here, put that other verse up again, Jason, 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, all of us who have had that veil removed can see. Now we can't. That was great timing. That was perfect. He just wanted me to know who was really in charge. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Let's stop there. We're going to go back and read the rest. But we can see and reflect. Is the Bible true, yes or no? You might react to that first part. I don't know if I can see the glory of the Lord. Wait a minute. If the Bible says it, then there's an access that means it really is accessible for you. You get to see the glory of God. Now, you may not see smoke on a mountain or a pillar of fire, but you can see the glory of God in people's lives. You can see God moving and ministering. You can see maybe even in worship or prayer, maybe see a vision of God or whatever. Like, there's so many different ways. The Bible talks about the glory of the Lord filling the earth. Even in the midst of us, there being evil and bad things happening, God's glory is still present. We see pockets of it over and over again. So we can see the glory of God. And then the next word, reflect. Say reflect. Reflect the glory of God. The other version says behold. And then I think it's talks about in an image like a glass. But we can reflect the glory of the Lord. That's what Angie was talking about. She was talking about the church going outside, and she used different words. She said, we're taking this and bringing it outside. That's exactly what that's saying. We can see him. We can behold his glory. We can take time to magnify him in our lives and to see what he's doing, and then we can reflect that. And so it's talking about more of taking in and becoming instead of doing and doing, instead of us striving and working for spiritual growth. It's we see him, we see his glory, we see what he's done for us, we see what he's doing in us, and then we reflect that. We let that just change us and dwell in us. Then look at that second sentence. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So the goal of spiritual growth is not to be like Billy Graham. It's to be like Jesus. It's to be like Jesus. The goal of spiritual growth is to be like Jesus. I asked you that question earlier today. How many of you are as far as you think you ever want to go or ever need to go on that journey? You're already fully like Jesus. You know, we didn't get many hands earlier. Maybe you've rethought it and feel that you are. If you're not, then there's room for growth. And if the goal of growth is becoming like Jesus, and the promise of God is that the Spirit is doing that day by day, glory by glory, more and more like Him, I love that because it's not more and more like a personality, or it's not more and more like a set of things that we have to do. It's not more and more like a behavior. It's more and more like Jesus. What was Jesus like? Well, the Bible is filled with examples of what Jesus was like. His compassion, His mercy, His truth, His holiness, like filled. So that's what we're becoming like. And I also love that it gives you permission to be you. You get to be the you that God designed you to be. You just get to get it redeemed. And to put the flesh down and let the spirit man rise up and be what the glory of God has called you to be. Does that make sense? He's making us into His image more and more like Him as we're changed into His image. So the goal of growth is to be like Jesus. Then I love this verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit. That one's not up there. Yeah, it is. The Lord is the Spirit. And the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sang that song, right? Not today, but we sing that song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Again, we all get ideas of what freedom really looks like. What does freedom mean? Can I do anything I want? What kind of freedom are we talking about? Jason, can you go back to that other, to the other 2 Corinthians 3? I want to see that verse. What is the freedom that we're talking about? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This whole section is talking about us, the old covenant and how they were kind of stuck, and the new covenant where we get to become like Jesus. So the freedom right there that we're talking about is the freedom for us to be transformed. And it's talking about the veil being lifted away. Three times there, it talks about their minds were hardened and the veil remains unlifted, and even today when Moses is read, a veil covers over their minds. That's what it says. A veil lies over their minds, but when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And then it has this verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's talking about veils covering our hearts, veils covering our minds. Have you ever run into someone and you're just sharing the love of God with them and they just don't get it? Like no matter how you say it, no matter what you say, it's like you're like, how can you not get this? And you try to say it in a way that is so simple, and there's just nothing, you know your words are just bouncing off, and it's just nothing's happening, and it's frustrating, and it's sad, and you're like, oh, what do I do? But the scripture says there's a veil that covers our hearts, it covers our minds. There's not access to it. And so in the old covenant, there was this veil that, like, you could see a glimpse, but then it was covered up. And the Bible says now in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that there's, or 16, whatever it is, that there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And it's talking about lifting that veil. That's the freedom that it's talking about. The freedom to have access to see God and to reflect Him. That's the freedom to become changed. How many of you, raise your hand. Let's be honest. We do this in youth group and at our Life Together groups. We're pretty transparent, pretty honest. How many of you have ever felt stuck? Just ever felt stuck? You're just like, God, I need to move forward. So that's a very real frustration that we all carry within us. We need to get beyond what we're feeling and really take God at His word. There's freedom. Say, there's freedom. There is freedom. So if that's true, then I have access to become more. If God says that we're going to see Him and reflect His glory, then that's true. If it says we're being changed more and more day by day into His likeness, then that's true. But I have a responsibility in this. God loves to partner with us. He does the work, but then we get to make the choice to respond to that. So I love that the growth is not to become a Billy Graham or and if that's what God, if that's the call that he has on your life, I would fully support that. That's a great thing. But that's not the goal. The goal is to be like Jesus. It's to let him transform us to look like him. That's a great goal. I want you to see something as well. It says, but their minds were hardened. Their minds were hardened. Have you guys ever run into somebody with a hard mind? Have you ever been a somebody with a hard mind? Yes, we all have. Their minds were hardened. I love how it says that. Their minds were hardened. Well, what does that mean? What difference does that make? Then it talks about veils being lifted. Then it talks about freedom. Put up that verse in Romans chapter 12. You guys know this verse. You know it. Let's read it with this context about their minds being hardened. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Can you do that with a hardened mind? No, you can't. But the veil's been lifted. Now there's freedom. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, and he is, and if he's present in your life, and he is, then there's freedom, and that's truth. There's freedom for you for now, for this verse to take effect in your life. But now we get to partner with God at our last Life Together group. That was what we learned about Chip Ingram's talk on changing the way that we think. Changing the way that we think to see transformation in our lives. So right now, these guys begged and begged and begged and begged to come up here this morning. And I kept saying, no, no. But finally, I was just pressured. So Tony and Jared are going to come up here for a second.
This is like The Price is Right. Jared, Tony, come on down. But I didn't want to get called. It's kind of the
exactly.
opposite.
Exactly. It's kind of the opposite. Everybody hopes they get called. They hope they didn't.
But when we're done here, we get to pass the mic to somebody, right? And it just keeps going all day.
It keeps going all day, yeah.
All
right. Why are these guys up here? That's what we all want to know, isn't it?
Because we're handsome.
You are handsome. So as I was telling you earlier, just kind of recognizing what God's doing and seeing people that are growing, these two buggers have been growing like weeds. I mean, they really have. And because we've had the privilege of being in their lives, we've gotten to hear a lot of stories and a lot of relating testimonies about what God is doing. And I said, man, you guys are growing so much. You should come up and talk about that, because I think a lot of times we have different ideas about what that's really like. So you guys have been growing. We've talked a lot about that. And in our conversations, we've had some great conversations about growth. So one of my questions to you this morning is, what started the process? Was there a time when you guys were not growing that you felt like not lurching forward?
I feel like I should have like a cheat sheet. That's a great question, Kurt. I'm sure Jared would like to answer that.
You guys have microphones for a reason. Use your microphones.
All right, what was the question?
We're back in school.
So I know the answer to this question because I know you guys.
And well, just say it then.
Okay, so so there's been a time in your guys' life, like in all of our lives, when we weren't really going forward, when we weren't really growing, or at least not to the capacity that we want to see in our life, where we weren't growing. So you guys are. So my question is this: what started that process? What do you think was one of the main things that initiated? I need to grow. I need to move forward.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I guess there was a long period in my life where I wasn't growing, stagnant, not happy, miserable, I guess, is what you could call it. It's not like I walked away from God or anything like that. I mean, but I certainly wasn't pursuing him as much as I should have been or could have been. wanted to, but man, just being beaten up all the time, you know, every time you turn around, yeah. Just when you think you're going the right direction, it's just like, oh, I'm falling off that way. So it was just a point of being, thank you. They were going to go. I think
preemptive.
Just a point of
yeah,
being,
he will take those home. So.
I'll give them to Ange for Valentine's Day next year. I think just a point of being completely miserable.
Okay.
No doubt.
All right. You have an answer?
Yeah, sometimes it takes some big trials or tribulations for that to happen, and probably most of you know what's going on there, but I've been seeing some God things pushing me in the right direction, and well, you talked about it right away on some of those. Who's hey, dancing over there?
That's just the background music.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a segue.
So,
it's comforting.
Some testimonies you talked about. Kirk was talking about people sharing different verses, or you know, somebody said this, and then this happened, and like the bus, your bus, yeah. And he ran. Yeah. I was meeting with Kirk, and he encouraged me and asked me to get a verse. Man, I'm all shaky. See, I'm all shaky because I usually don't do stuff like I took freshman speech class in college my senior year, the very last semester, and mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's weird. Man, I'm just going all kinds of directions here. I know a lot of you probably know I play in a five-piece band. I do two-man bands sometimes. I've been playing at the nursing home once in a while by myself, so if you want to come down there and listen. Or I'll come play for you and some of you in a few years, but no, but I've always
you're gonna
been...
need more flowers.
I've always been nervous and not having a lot of confidence to get up in front. I mean, when I play in a band thing, there's like four other people there that can help cover up my mistakes. Yep. And it's different in the church because I look up to y'all and I don't want to, you know, fail and be a failure. And when I play with the band, I really don't care. It kind of doesn't matter. But I've always been worried about people judging me and whatnot. And what's crazy is scared to do it here, but you're the last of the people that would ever judge me on anything. And it's the other ones that would judge me. And so it's like, I don't know where I was going with that. Other than I've been nervous. It's like, if I come, what if I trip and fall? You know, what if I got a hair out of place? And so, Kirk asked me to bring a quote next time we meet, a Bible verse. I mean, and I know it seems like, and I've seen it in other people. I've seen it myself a lot. It seems like whatever you're fearing. Or I don't know what the right word is. It's like I'm the one that's doing that. It's me. That's why I'm fearful of it. And when I talk about judging, I've been very judgmental in my life, very critical, sarcastic, free spirit and stuff. But it's probably like a defense mechanism because I'm worried about other people judging me, and I shouldn't. I realize that. So anyway, this verse I picked is Philippians 4:8. But what's crazy leading up to that too, I picked this verse and then, I was getting ready to go to, what do we call it?
Life Together.
And I was watching, had something as I was getting ready, had the TV on and one of the pastors on TBN, I can't remember which one it was on. And he brings up Philippians 4:8. I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, it's a
confirmation.
Yeah. So you want to just tell a story? It's confirmation, and so then we go to Life Together, and they take turns reading verses, and Kirk's like, well, who wants to read this next one? It's Philippians 4:8.
Okay.
I guess I'm supposed to read that one, but I'm going to read it for you. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. So for me, it's to stop thinking on the negative and dwelling on the negative. And I had one other huge testimony, too, I want to say. without getting into details, I was down in Kansas last week. Was it last week or the week before for work? Which is crazy. I was staying in Emporia, which is where we're staying on our way back from the missions trip. I've never heard of or been to Emporia in 46 years, and I'm going to be there twice in a couple weeks. But I was going out to get something to eat and gas up the truck, so I didn't have to do it worry about it on the way back. And I walked by the little gym there in the hotel, see if there were any donuts in there. No, I went in there, and there's one guy working out in there, and he said, we just started talking a little bit, and I have another little testimony within it, but I'm not even going to say that one, but this one was just huge. We just got to talking for a little bit, and his situation is identical to mine, number of kids and everything, so... He prayed for all week to run into somebody to talk to, and we. And
not just someone to talk to, but someone to pour into.
Yes, especially for him. That's what he really wanted to. Yeah, so we talked from like 7 that night till 1 in the morning, and he shared a bunch of stuff with me, and he's kind of like a little mentor to me now. But we're both in the same. Situation, but he's got a lot of growth going. I mean, he's been a saved Christian since he was 11 years old, and so. But that's who I ran in to help me, you know. So, and with your the friends group and us meet, I mean, it's just all angles. And I know you can't grow if I don't press in myself is the problem. If I'm waiting on myself to do it, it's been 46 years or whatever, and it's not happening. So,
but how cool is that? That God responds when you take a baby step forward. I mean, doesn't God just responds with just a massive response from heaven to see, because he wants to see us look more like Jesus than we want to see us look like Jesus, right? So if we take that step forward and we start pushing in. So another question, is it scary? Grow, like, because we've got, you know, as pastors, I've been here 23 years, you really get to recognize things, patterns after a while, and it's not hard to recognize that these guys are growing. So... You guys are all spiritual giants now or whatever. What's that process of growth like? You started out just out of sheer frustration, you know, being miserable. You kind of initiated by, you know, some trials. And so both of you had a little different reason that propelled you into it. What is the process like? Is it scary? Is there times where it looks like there's nothing happening? Or is it just a skyrocket towards heaven every day?
I don't even get a chance to think about the answer. I think it's more frustrating. Yeah, I don't think it's scary or anything like that. It's just kind of frustrating because for so long, it just seems like, you know, you can press in, you can be growing, you can press in, and it doesn't. Sometimes it just doesn't take much to kind of throw you off course. I mean, that's why you really need to. It's like I said. It's not like I fell away from God or Jesus. I always know where to go. It's just actually going there, because you know you can just be steadfast, and all it takes is just one word. I mean, Satan just plant one word in your head, and it's just like everything just veers off to the left and spirals out of control. And so, and then, you know, you can press in and think that you're doing good and just know that, you know, and then all of a sudden something comes up and it's just like, you know, my world's falling apart, or it just frustrating. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I picture it like going toward, you got the cross back there. For a long time, it's been me getting closer to the cross, like sitting right here and making a church and making it. And now, with the help of Tony and Angie and yourself and a lot of the church and my new friend Chris and the radio and TBN, Joseph Prince and James McDonald it's all right there and available. It's kind of what you're putting into your mind rather than just... It's been there forever. I think they said TBN was like 33 years or something, I heard, and I just haven't been watching it or seeing it. Okay. And we got a Focus on the Family.
I love this, yeah.
Focus on the Family magazine at home, and this last month was the first time I've ever read it.
Jared comes in. We had a meeting. He comes in. Look what I got. We've been getting this for years. I'd never even seen it before. He opens it up. He's got articles highlighted, marked, circled. There's stuff for my kids. There's stuff for my wife. There's stuff for me.
So anyway, my growth, like going towards the cross, looks something like this. Now it looks like this. It's like all over. I mean, like Tony just said, it's two steps ahead, one step back. It kind of looks like a stock market, right? It's like this and down, but over time, it's still going overall that way. So that's kind of how mine is. Has it been enlightening? Is it awesome? Yes, I love it. Is it hard? Yes. Is it? Sometimes it can be 2-3 days in a row I struggle because it's not an overnight fix. It's not a light switch. So.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to get to deep issues in your life, a lot of us have been stuck for a lot of years in some deep areas. And if we're going to really press forward into those, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in 1 second. Sometimes God moves like that, but often we walk through it because what's happening in the process. We had this conversation the other night with us three, and one of them was just, I forget who it was just felt so bad about the process of just struggling through that. I should be that, you know. And so we looked up some verses, and sometimes it's not even about the product, it's about the process. The process is what, like the stumbling, like the going, like that's part of it. That's part of the growth. That's not the failure. That's part of the growth. It's a struggle, and as we push through these, we become stronger. Amen. What one thing? See, you can challenge you with this one. What one thing, if one thing or two things just that come to your mind, what has helped you the most to grow? What has been in your guys' personal forward growth? Has it, you know?
I'll go first this time.
Yeah.
Just being intentional. I have some cards written out with some verses like on my mirror, so I see it every day, every morning, every night, or Tuesdays when I shower. No, I have it there every day so I can see it. I'm reminded. And just being intentional about what you're letting your mind listen to and stuff. I mean, so just when I wake up in the morning getting ready for work, I have, even if I don't have time to focus on it and listen to it, it's always in the background. I have TBN going on. And even if I don't necessarily agree with everything they always say, I mean, it's still all positive.
Exactly. Come on.
Right. So even just the radio station, I have several books. I've had books on my nightstand next to my bed placed there for me over many, many years that I've never opened, but I am opening them now. And it's amazing. I was in I'd hear something on the radio or the TV, and I'm, okay, I want to order this. I'm like, I better go look first. And there are books upon books and CDs and audio.
Yep.
So just being intentional, I guess, is what's helping me, because it's easy to stray away and stop being intentional.
Tony?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Use your mic.
I forgot what the question was.
Okay. What's the one thing that's most helped you grow? Obviously, you're growing lots of different ways, but what's the, if there's one tool, one thing, one person, one idea, what are you doing that's most helping you grow?
You know, I was going to, there's probably a couple of different things, but I was just going to answer my wife for every one of these questions.
That's true.
My wife.
That's true, he was.
But anyways, my wife is one of them. I mean, she's awesome at just, you know. Making sure that everyone in our family just pushes through, and you got to feed the word. Another thing is just trying to, my biggest problem is taking my thoughts captive. I mean, that's taking my thoughts captive is what I really struggle with, and that's what I really work on to grow.
Last question. There may not be anything. You maybe already answered it, but is there any advice that you would give to the rest of us if we're feeling stuck, if we're feeling complacent, or we think we should grow but haven't? You know, is there any advice, or just from your process so far, any just one last parting word, any advice you'd give us?
Well, it was like I said, it was like a year and a half of struggling, of just being in a dark place. Not knowing where to turn or what to do, knowing but not doing it. And like I said, getting a lot of my poor wife, getting a lot of poking and prodding from her. But you know, there's people out there to help with that stuff. I mean, you just got to take the step to do it. It kind of came to a breaking point and met with Pastor and Kirk and Stephen, and just kind of went from there. There's nothing to. There's the only way to go is up. So there's no other choice. I mean, you can't do it alone, or at least I couldn't. You know, as much as I want to, or think that I can. There's always people out there that'll help build you up.
You're sitting in the wisdom chair again. That you can't do it alone.
But I will say, I was listening to a pastor, and I ran this by Kirk because he might think that it might be a little funny or strange. The one verse that has really, through all this, that has really stuck with me for whatever reason. You know, there's different ways of reading it. There's different versions. Mm-hmm. But the version that I had sought, and I'm going to have to read it because I don't quite remember it right. But and it just kind of points out that it's just simple. It's just so simple as...
I'm confident that the writers in Ezekiel of this Old Testament verse didn't intend for this.
However,
God picked this verse to get through to you.
And I apply it to myself. This, and like you said, this, I'm sure this isn't the way that it was intended. It was intended for whoever or whatever. But it says, "But I came by and I saw you there, hopelessly kicking about in your blood. As you lay there, I said, live." And it was as simple as live. I mean, just live.
Any parting words, sage advice?
No, that sounds a lot like, I think we talked about, it wasn't that, but I picture somebody's, you know, splashing around in the water trying to survive, trying to not drown, and hear God saying, "Stand up! The water is only 3 foot deep. Why are you drowning?"
It's so good.
I guess mine is just, again, going back to being intentional, because I can get down, and I even know the answers. I don't know them all. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I know what I'm supposed to do through Kirk and Angie, and it's still, even when I know it's there, I still sometimes struggle with it. So one of those verses that I have up that I keep for myself is Psalms 51:10. Familiar with that one? Anyone? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So I just have to, when times get tough or are dark, and I don't always do it, but I have to try and remember, say that prayer, or just, you know, say a prayer to Jesus, or cast out the enemy, or whatever it is at that moment, but something to just keep going in the right direction. Because I think you said it one time, one inch in the right direction is like miles ahead than going the other direction, something to that. Yeah. So awesome.
Awesome. Give them a hand. Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
No mic drops. No mic drops.
So I'm good for 10 years now, right?
Yeah. That is so good. That is so good. Thank you, guys. They really didn't beg me to come up here. That was being facetious. Let's just finish. I know we're out of time, but let's just finish up. So we've heard all this. Maybe you're inspired. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're indifferent. But what if we want to go forward? What if we're tired of being stuck? Maybe you're not, you know, in a bad place like Tony was, or in a bad situation like Jared is. Maybe you're just kind of just sitting there, but you know you want to move forward. You want to go forward, or maybe you're stuck, or maybe you are in those situations. I love what Jared said, be intentional. We've got to be, and growth does not happen by automatic. You have to be intentional. Okay, say I agree with you. What do I be intentional about? Okay, let's just really quick, some nuts and bolts. Get in the Word of God. I don't know where to start. Get a devotional, get a daily walk with Jesus, something, something. Go to a bookstore, talk to Marnie, ask your friends what they're reading. Start in the Gospel of John. Get in one of the, like Pastor always says, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, one of those books. It's a letter to the church talking about how we're to live. And then my big advice, you'll hear me say this 1,000 times, my youth group's tired of hearing it. When you read your Bible, slow down. Slow down. Slow down. You need to read it fast sometimes to get context. Who are we talking to? Is this a letter to the church? Is this a prophetic thing? You need to get context. You need to know who's saying what. I get that. But then when you get to where you're getting to, slow down. Slow down. It's not a race. You don't get extra points if you get 2 chapters in, right? So, because we've all have read our Bible and then nothing happens, you know? So slow down. And here's what I like to do. When you're reading, like read your stuff, and if something jumps out right away, great. But if not, read your thing, and then maybe read a little more. And what I like to do, there's that little, it looks different to different people all the time, but to me, sometimes it looks like the words come off the page. I get to this one section, or sometimes it looks exactly the same, but something inside of me just jumps. I'm like, whoa! Or sometimes I'm like, it just really catches me because I don't know what it means, but it catches me. Maybe it's not some, oh, glorious moment, but it stops me in my tracks. I'm like, oh, I never saw that before. Stop there. That's a sign. Just hang out there. Read it. Read it again. What does each word mean? What does the verse right before it say? What does the verse right after it say? You're not going to be transformed by power reading through 47 chapters a day, okay? It's the Word of God, but we need to let it transform us. Slow down. Meditate on it. Like, that's hard for us as Americans, okay? Slow down. Slow down. Really read it. Read the sentence again. Read it again. If you were explaining it to your kids, to your grandkids, to your neighbor, how would you explain it? Well, what about this word? What does that mean? Well, of course we know what it means. Well, explain it then. Oh, I can't. Exactly. A lot of stuff that we think we know what it is, it's hard to explain because we don't even really know exactly what it means. Look it up in a dictionary. Here's some tools for you. It's really simple, really quick and easy. I know you guys all have your Bibles, but here's 3 tools. That will just transform your life. Bible Gateway, YouVersion. You can't do that one on a computer. You need a phone or a tablet for that. Download the app. It's worth its weight in gold. Blue Letter Bible. That's if you want to dig in a little bit deeper. Don't go to the website for Blue Letter Bible. It's horrible. So I didn't use it for years. But if you want to know what the Greek says without actually knowing Greek, Blue Letter Bible is powerful. It lets you dig into scriptures a little bit more. Bible Gateway is a great Bible reading app. You want to, if you're carrying around a 73-pound concordance, stop. Get an app on your phone, Bible Gateway or YouVersion. Search them. Here's another tip when you're reading the Bible. Read it in more than one version. But Bible Gateway and YouVersion, I'm not saying don't, you know, read your paper Bible. Do whatever you do, but like add this to your routine so that when you're at work or when you got a thought in your head, because you can search in them. You know, someone just asked me today, I didn't know where a verse was. Where's that verse about? You can go in there and search for those words. Blue Letter Bible is one if you want to dig in a little bit more. There's some commentaries on Blue Letter Bible. There's some dictionaries on Blue Letter Bible. But get into the Word. Read it. Read it in different versions. Read it till something catches your spirit, okay? And then the last thing, or second to last thing really quick, don't just read it, but do it. We all know this stuff, guys. We all do. We all know that, right? We've heard this in church 1,000 times, but both of them said, I needed to start doing it. You heard that. I was stuck. I was in a bad place. I was in a bad situation, but I had to be intentional. I had to be intentional. I had to do this. And so they're working things into their routine. You heard Jared say it. Each morning, I got it pasted on my mirror. I've got, you know what? Like, let's move forward. But we have to just say more than, okay, God, here I am. Change me. Amen. Right? That's a great prayer. But if it just stops there, 5 years from now, you're going to be praying the same prayer. God, here I am. Change me. Amen. We have to be intentional. He does the work, but we got to take that baby step forward. Okay, I'll find one verse this week that I'm going to meditate on a little bit. Maybe I'll take that verse all week. Maybe I'll write it down. I don't care what your tool is. Pick something. I'll listen to this preacher that I like. You know, maybe there's a sermon that catches you. I'll listen to that over and over and over again. But apply it. How do I put this into practice? It has to get into application, or we don't grow. We just get our heads just get bigger, filled up with Bible verses. Oh yeah, I know that one, right? If I start talking about, I bet there's 100 verses that if I start talking about them, at least one of you in here will be like, yep, I know that one, and you'll say it along with me. Has it transformed your life? Nope, but I know it, right? And we do. We know those. And if it's just making our heads bigger, then it's just making us buy more hats. That's all. It's just capitalism, okay? But when we start applying it, that's when you start seeing change. When we start doing it, we start living it out. Baby steps. No one's asking you to be Billy Graham tomorrow. Baby steps. We want to figure out where we're at right now. Tomorrow, can we be here? Right? Because an inch forward is miles ahead of going backwards. It is. Don't worry that it's only an inch forward. Take steps. Grow. Get just a hunger. Let God stir your heart to grow forward. We don't want to be the same. We want to be transformed, because there's a dying world out there that needs you to be transformed. Amen? Amen? Hang around people that are growing. That's what we want to end with today. If you got a group of friends, and I'm not saying that you just abandon all your friends, that's not what I'm saying, but you need to get a couple people in your life. You heard both of them say it. Can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Get a couple people in your life that you can talk with, that you can confide in, that you can share scripture with, that can ask you hard questions. And, you know, when we get together, we ask hard questions. There's nothing's off limit. I mean, we're just talking about growing. We want to get this stuff out in the light. When the light comes in, the cockroaches start scattering. Right? We all got a lot of cockroaches in us. I mean, they just are. Just that sin and that junk just seeps in. We want to grow forward. Get some light and some people that you trust and can, maybe it's parents or even like Tony said, his greatest resource has been his wife. Then he said, poor Angie. But you know what I mean? Invite someone in because you want to go forward, and don't let them enable you. Okay? You need to move forward. You need to take the step. Someone can't do it for you. They can give you advice, but then you got to go forward. You've got to take the step. You've got to initiate that. That's good stuff. Here's my challenge to you this week. Pray about, meditate about, think about, where do I need to grow? Where do I need to grow? And maybe God will give you an answer that's completely different than what you think. But let's pick a growth goal this week. How do I want to grow? What area do I, no one can pick that but you. Let the Holy Spirit just stir something in me. You know, maybe it's something internal, maybe it's a habit, maybe whatever it is. And let's just press into that and see how God wants to open up growth for us. Maybe it's finding some people to share that with, or you know, digging into scriptures or whatever, and just setting a little goal that's measurable and that's achievable. We do this with the guys all the time. I'm like, what's our goal for this week? And you know what? They're growing because they're setting goals. And it's not about achievement. It's not about doing. It's about being intentional about, I'm going to create a space for God to work in. I'm gonna do this, and I know God is the only one that can make the change. But I'm gonna give Him a space that He can work in. I'm gonna like Jared shared. I'm gonna read this verse every week, Philippians 4:8, and he just meditates on that because he knows he's got a problem with his thinking, right? And so pick whatever it is and set a little goal, a tiny little goal that you can measure, and a week from now you can say, I've made progress in this because I've given God some space to move in that, and then come next week with a little testimony to share. That's inspiring when people are growing. Amen?